Good morning, Jackson, Mississippi, and all surrounding areas. You have tuned in to the Free Range Human Show of Choice. Your daily dose of reality radio starts now, right here on 103.9 WYAB. I am broadcasting live in the Generator Power Solutions studio with my Tuesday co-host, Ms. Therese Apel with DarkHorsePressNow.com.
Good morning, Mississippi.
How you doing, Therese?
Pretty good. The holidays are done. That means all the stress that goes with the holidays are done. Now we just get back into the swing of things, and I think I can do it this time.
Look, I've been claiming this is going to be my year since 1987. This is really it. I'm going to get my life together this year.
You know, that's the thing. Like, I didn't try to do that this year. I have goals, but yeah. I did not set any resolutions. I didn't try to be like, oh yeah, 2022 is going to make a difference, because, oh gosh, didn't 2020 and 2021 teach us different, you know?
It takes more than one day change of the calendar for this old ship to turn around.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I've learned to not set, like I played you that little video, I've learned not to set my expectations. Too high or too low.
Right.
You know, just kind of like let things play out a little bit. I got a mindset where I want to get, and I'm not going to put it on paper too much. I don't know that I believe in the dream boards and wish boards and all that stuff like a lot of people do. I think that can just disappoint you.
Well, and I think, okay, so I understand what, you know, the law of attraction is and all that kind of stuff, where if you ponder on it hard enough, you're going to bring it into being. And I don't think that it's wrong that if you have a positive mindset and you're goal oriented and all that, that you're going to bring good things to yourself because you're working for it and because you've got the energy going on, the mindset that brings those people to you that can make that possible and that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't really know if there's any way to actually manifest stuff.
Yeah, no, I believe you 100% with that. I mean, I do. I read the book, The Secret, and watched the movie, and I believe in a lot of the law of attraction. I mean, you kind of start hanging out with different people, getting in the circles you need to be in to make things happen, and this, that, and the other. I mean, look, I know some people it has worked for, so I don't want to sit here and hate on it at all.
I'm just thinking, like, there's a scientific reason it works, and that's what it is.
Well, I think, what outside of your wish board that you're walking out of the house looking at every day on the way to your $10 an hour job,
right?
What are you doing other than wishing? You know, are you building the foundation and putting in the work and getting inside those circles?
Right.
Are you doing the real work, you know, that it takes to get what you want on that board? Are you going to the gym if it's bodybuilding, or getting in shape? Are you saving money? Are you investing? You know, if you're not doing any of those things, all you've got is a board with some pretty pictures on it.
Yeah. Well, and that said, you know, it's so easy to be like, this is what I'm going to do. I do this with the gym. I hate it. There was a time in my life when I was like constantly working out, like two a days, you know, high intensity, unhealthy working out, whatever. But, you know, then when I kind of fell off that wagon, now each year since then, I've been like, I'm going to get back in the gym this year. And unless you have that dedication, it's not going to happen. So that's what I'm working on this year, is getting my mind in a better place where the things that I want to do, I'll actually take those steps. Of course, now I also have a new business, and that takes a lot too.
I want that toxic relationship with the gym again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do too. I told my therapist, I mean, I might as well admit I have one, but I told him, I said, I want to be addicted to the gym. If I do that, are you guys going to treat me like an addict? And he was like, probably not. I said, okay, good.
I remember, I think that outside of family, that when I was obsessed with the gym, that was a true addiction, obsession.
Yeah.
You know, I was that guy that went in on Thanksgiving or Christmas morning, would post a selfie while y'all are getting fat. I'm in here, you know, doing my thing. No grind, no shine, you know, all the cheesy gym meme stuff.
Oh, I found all the memes, and I would post one every day that I went to the gym. And it was like I became that person that I sometimes say that I hate, but I'm really just jealous, that like talked about what I ate all the time and talked about going to the gym all the time, and like, oh, today I missed boot camp, I better not eat, you know, and now that part's unhealthy. But, you know, the point was, it was like, it was a constant in the forefront of my mind. And I would love to have that going on, and maybe in a lesser way, because I've got other things going on. But yeah, I mean, if I could get back addicted to the gym, heck yeah. I've been looking for a boot camp to go to anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm sure there's one around, especially out there in Rankin County.
That's what I thought, yeah.
You know, I remember going to the gym, and I had to be at where I was living out there in South Jackson, Byram area there, and I was going to the gym at Byram. Shout out to those guys. And I had to be at work at 9, right over by the metro. So I was pretty condensed into one 15-minute drive area.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, if I just had another hour, I could really get to where I wanted to be. If I just didn't have to be at work till 10.
Mm-hmm.
LOL. LOL. If I had known then what I know now.
Right.
If I had all the time in the world. But what I should have done was just got up an hour earlier.
Right,
And gone to the gym.
Which
would still be later than I'm sleeping now.
When I got into my extreme health phase, it's because I started going to Paul Lacoste Sports Boot Camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dumb enough to choose the 5 a.m. class. So I was getting up in Brandon or in Reservoir area at 3:30 a.m. so that I could get up, you know, get moving, whatever, get to where they were having it in Jackson. I'm one of those early people. If I can, I want to be there. So long story short, 3:30 a.m. is when my alarms would start going off. Now it's like if I wake up, I usually wake up about 5:45 or so, and I need to lay there for another like 15 or 20 minutes before I do anything. If I would just get up and go, I'd be in good shape.
Well,
you know?
Somebody just texted and said that, let's see here. Our friend Catherine that listens every day says Fitness 1440 there in Richland has a great boot camp.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I know that Flint Minshew actually started that gym. I don't know if he's still involved in that or not, but it's only top-notch stuff. And I got some friends that work out there. Also, this Friday here on the Clay Edwards Show, I've got Anson Walker with the Walker Lifestyle coming on.
Great.
Now, I know he's based out of Stark Fitness, but I believe he does some other things as well. He's got a book coming out and all that. Incredible life coach, fitness coach, the whole nine yards. Listening to Anson will have you ready to run through a brick wall.
I'm about to say something weird, but when I was in high school, I wrote sports for the local newspaper, and I remember us playing Anson Walker, and he was really good. I don't remember what school, but I remember all the names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's from I believe he's from the Canton area. At least
mm-hmm.
that's the area he resides in.
That's what I was pulling up in my brain was Canton, but I wasn't sure.
Yep. So Anson's the real deal, man. When I listen to Anson, he does some other shows around. You know, he does a sports show that he's a sponsor on or something or other. And once a week he goes for an hour, and it's just like listening to a motivational video, like these YouTube videos and stuff.
Yeah.
For an hour. I'm like, this guy's local.
if
his gym was anywhere but Gluckstadt.
Right.
It couldn't be further away from my route of life.
Me too.
I would be there, you know, but if I could get him to meet me in the middle, well, that Jackson would be the middle. That's out.
Yeah.
But you know, somewhere.
Right.
You know.
Forward me that text and tell your friend thank you so much.
Yeah, I will. I will. I'll send you a screenshot of it now. All right, let's see here. Crystal just sent me this one, too. It's a burn boot camp in Flowood.
Someone suggested that. That one looks good, too. Yeah.
I'll send you that one, too.
Okay.
So we got some options here.
Yes, thank you. I should talk about things I need on the radio more often.
This is our law of attraction.
Right, exactly. You know, this illustrates what we were talking about.
We're willing things into existence. You know, like last week I talked about a punching bag. You mentioned one. I took an Ambien, and next thing you know, I have one on the way.
Yeah.
Actually, it arrived yesterday, and it's hiding in the back of my car. Oh, yeah, I guess I just told my wife.
I think the funniest thing about those sleeping drugs, because I take trazodone, and it doesn't do anything crazy but put you to sleep. But in that drowsy phase before I fall asleep, I have purchased things that are hilarious. Like one day I got a life-size cardboard cutout of George W. Bush that showed up in the mail. And I was like, what is this? Who sent me this? Which I love W, you know, but I'm thinking, who sent me this? What is this? Is this a joke? Is this just somebody that knows me or, you know, what? And of course, I can't figure it out. It's from Amazon. And I thought, oh, no. I went and looked in my Amazon account, and there it was. I'd bought it for $40.
Yeah. Like I forgot about it. And the next morning, I got the email notification that my package is shipped. And mm-hmm. I was like, what package? From Walmart.com. And it's like Everlast punching bag and stand. I was like, oh, $253. And I was just like, PayPal, pay in four. I was like, oh, well, I can stomach that over 8 weeks.
It's way better.
It's like one payment every other week. I was like, okay, I guess I can live there as long as the checking account don't bounce.
Right.
You know, then it's like all for naught.
Well, and one of those payment things sends you a text like your payment's coming out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure you're ready type thing. And I'm always like, oh, good.
And no doubt. But so I got that. So I'm excited about getting it put up and, you know, I'm trying to just change up. I did the treadmill in the gym for so long. I was like, let me try something different. I always loved hitting the heavy bags and stuff like that. So I was like, do that in the treadmill and try a little high intensity interval HIIT training stuff,
mm-hmm.
kind of back and forth and just mix it up some.
Yeah.
You know, after I tore my rotator cuff, it took the wind out of my sails for going and doing traditional gym stuff. You know, like weights, how much can I lift?
Yeah. Well, and for me, working out with Paul Lacoste, and then I trained with Colonel Tuggle over at the Police Training Academy. Mm-hmm. And that was during that phase of my life when everything was about working out. But the thing is, now that I've seen how that stuff works, it's hard for me to go back to the traditional stuff. But there's no way, like, while I was doing all that, I was exhausted all the time.
I could imagine Tuggle barking at you like a pit bull.
Oh, man. He's awesome, though. I mean, it was freaking incredible. Like, I got out there and I was doing stuff, and he would be yelling and yelling and yelling. At the end, he would just kind of smile and be like, that was a good one. And you'd be like, oh, my gosh, I did amazing.
All right, look, man, we're going to take a break real quick. You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show. If you want to call in, you want to talk about anything, man, we're all over the place this morning. We've got a bunch to talk about, and we can always change direction on a dime here. 601-879-0002 is the call-in line, and we'll see you right here on the other side of the break on 103.9 WYAB. All right, welcome back to The Clay Edwards Show right here on 103.9 WYAB. I'm joined on Tuesdays by Miss Therese April with Dark Horse
Press.
Sorry, I had to grab my pen. DarkHorsePressNow.com. Uh-huh. And this segment's going to be brought to you by Take a Break Deliveries.
These people are my favorite.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Their cars know their way to my house automatically.
Well, and the best thing is, like, you and I both know the guy that owns the thing, and he'll say something to me the other day about, like, I mean, he said something the other day about, like, so you got those tacos from Abner's the other day. Those pretty good? And I'm like, yeah. And it's to me, it's important. Not important, but it's cool that the guy that runs the place knows what I ordered, you know?
Look, absolutely. So, hey, download the app from either App Store, Google Play, or Apple, or check out their website, takeabreakdeliveries.com. Or just go type in Take a Break into your App Store. They push out discount codes every day, some kind of code to get for money off your deliveries. However, the Clay Edwards Show and Dark Horse Press each have our own discount code, and I don't care which one you use, as long as you use one of them. Maybe we can have a contest one day to see how many take a breaks we can sell. But use Clay601, all caps, if you want to use mine. And
It's Dark Horse with us.
Dark Horse with Dark Horse Press. And we would love for your support and support a great local veteran-owned business. And Take a Break Deliveries is a food delivery business, you know, like your Uber Eats and stuff of that nature, but locally owned. So,
well, and can I tell a story right quick?
Yeah.
So the other day, the girl comes to my house, and I had put that I ordered from Nuke's, and I wanted the grilled or the pimento cheese sandwich, and I'd put no tomatoes on it. And she was still within good time, and she pulled up in my driveway, and as she's getting out, she said, they put tomatoes on it. And I was like, oh. And she said, don't worry, I took it back and I made them make it again. And I was like, you are awesome. Like, that's the customer service you get, you know?
And I look here on my ad read, it says, when you want to look forward to lunch or at work or supper at home, just visit takeabreakdeliveries.com or open their app. Pick the restaurant of your choice, and in around 45 minutes, you'll be enjoying freshly prepared food. I'm gonna tell you what, I don't think it's ever taken them. I don't want to set expectations for anybody out there, but just in my experience, it's never taken 45 minutes.
Yeah.
To get anything,
even during high traffic times, yeah. I think it's the most it's been. It's like 40.
We ordered pizza on New Year's Eve. That feels like a high traffic, high volume food that a lot of people weren't the only people who thought about pizza on New Year's Eve. And I ordered it, jumped in the shower, got out, threw some clothes on. No sooner than I put my sandals on, my flip flops, I heard the door knocking.
Yeah.
Or I got the text said your food's 3 minutes away. So I went out and met him in the driveway.
Right.
And fresh and hot, and shout out to Lost Pizza for always having fresh, hot, good pizza right there for me.
Absolutely. And, you know, honestly, again, not to beat this drum forever, but I probably will. The fact that he's local, the fact that he started from scratch. I interviewed him a couple of years ago right before he got started, right after he had gotten started. Like, this is somebody just like you and me, started from the ground up, and now he's having amazing success. And so, guys, if you're out there, like, sure, there's DoorDash, there's Uber Eats, there's all that kind of stuff. But if you're in the delivery range of, he also is adding alcohol delivery. So.
I saw that. So and also, he services Pearl, Flowood, Ridgeland, Madison, much of Brandon, and even parts of Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And we know which parts of Jackson. He ain't serving, but that's neither here nor there. It's and here's a good thing too. I found out, and this was just in general commenting on Facebook. Somebody I shared a post, and some lady had commented, "Well, you know, if the restaurant has their own delivery service, do it from them instead of these people that that cost them money." And he got on there and said, "Hey, we pay full price for menu items. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, we don't take anything from the restaurant. This is all consumer driven,
right?"
And I thought that was very important. He was very polite about it. Mm-hmm. But he was just like, hey, no, that's not the case with take a break deliveries. We don't require you to have a special menu. We don't get a discounted rate. None of that stuff. We pay full menu price. And I thought, wow, how cool is that? Because it's 99%, maybe 100%. I'm not sure. I don't order from any of the chain restaurants. I'm not even sure if they're on there or not. But it seems like most of his restaurants are locally owned restaurants.
Yeah.
Too.
And to me, that's important because some of the other delivery apps, you can't get that. Mm-mm. You know.
We ordered something, what was it, from Willie B's the other night, country fried steak. And I learned that veal makes my gout flare up incredibly bad, worse than anything, but good Lord, it was good.
Yeah.
It was so good going down, but oh my God, I've been paying for it since.
That's the worst.
All right, so look, again, it's take a break deliveries. Didn't mean to go on a half a segment there about it, but
it's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Use the discount code for $4 off your order. Use mm-hmm. Clay601 or Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. Just simply Dark Horse.
Yep.
Is it all caps?
I think it can be either one.
Okay. So all caps on Clay601 and then Dark Horse. And like I said, just support local, veteran owned. That's what we're all about here at WYAB, and I know over at Dark Horse Press as well.
Mm-hmm.
So good stuff there. All right. Kind of hitting something local here. I know a lot of people have seen this. And I was late to the party because I was busy all day yesterday. Ridgeland Police Chief John Neal
mm-hmm.
released a statement or a letter mm-hmm. on their Facebook page, Ridgeland Police Department Facebook page. Title was Stop Cutting 6 Feet Off Your Parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a little long-winded, but I'm going to try to read it because I think it's important. And it got shared a lot.
Yeah, and this is also a drum that John Neal's beaten over and over again and come under fire for, but he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong. So y'all bear with me. You know, I'm not the best public reader, but here we go. Said, I have been asked on several occasions recently about crime in Ridgeland and the youth committing crimes. Whether or not this story is actual, it is factual. If you were offended, it may be about you. We have to turn on our youth. We have to turn our youth around and show them a better path. But the below was borrowed from a friend. Stop cutting 6 feet off your parenting. A few years ago, we were at a soccer practice. I have never forgotten this moment. The kids were told to run around the field, go to the corner, make their way back to the center. The first few kids did it correctly, but they all quickly started cutting the corner. When my son got to that point where kids were cutting, I yelled out, all the way to the corner, do it right, we aren't cheaters. One of the other kids' fathers looked at me and goes, geez, it's only 6 feet. I didn't say anything to him at the time. I shrugged it off and sat back down. But his comments has literally stuck with me for years now. And I've always wondered, would you cut 6 feet off a wall if you were building a house 6 inches or 6 centimeters? No, you wouldn't. You're going to do the best to build the house exactly to spec. You aren't going to say, oh, well, this board is 6 feet short. Too bad. We'll make it work. You're going to go out and get another board. Why? Because cutting corners on that home causes structural integrity issues. Cutting corners means you end up with a lopsided house that can't be trusted to provide you shelter in storms. I've been volunteering at the school on Mondays. There are 45 kids in the club I work with. It's terrible. Absolutely horrible. I love volunteering. I love working with my son's class. But I've never seen anything like this before. These kids are mean, nasty, and disrespectful. They have zero accountability. They scream, they run, they don't listen, they don't follow directions. They aren't quite when the teachers talk. They have no respect whatsoever. The problem is lack of parenting. The problem is these parents think it's okay to cut 6 feet off their job. Do you realize that raising an adult, not a child? I'm sorry. Do you realize you are raising an adult, not a child? We don't raise children. We raise adults. It is your job to teach them to be decent people. It's your job to teach them what is right and what is wrong. It's your job to teach respect and responsibility. Don't even get me started on the kids that have zero idea how to clean up after themselves. When you choose to take shortcuts on parenting, you are choosing to cut 6 feet off that wall. You are messing up the integrity of your child. You are teaching them that it is okay to be lopsided and not put in full effect and not put in full effort. As a society, we need to stop cutting that 6 feet off. Don't let your child cut 6 feet off, because then the next one thinks it's okay, and then the next. Then we have an even bigger problem. Stop cutting. Let's see here. Yeah, stop cutting 6 feet off. Stop letting your child cut 6 feet off. The era of children being raised right now is not a good one. Something needs to change. I could go on further. I could write an entire book, but I know most people don't even read this much at all. That's another thing. Bring back books. So I'll stop here. Just please stop cutting 6 feet off your parenting. Your child needs a solid foundation, solid walls, and a solid roof if you expect them to become decent people. Sorry for the long read there. But
and in case you just joined us, that was something that Chief John Neal from Ridgeland Police Department posted on Facebook.
It was, and you can find it on the Ridgeland Police Department Facebook. Mm-hmm. I shared it on the Lost Jackson page. That's Lost JXN. And it's good reading there. You know, go share it, because it's true.
Well, and the thing is, you look at what's wrong with the world, and I think it starts, you know, with some of the older generations. It's not just the millennials. It's the fact that, you know, at some point, everyone started working way too much, and they quit paying as much attention to their kids. It was easier to park them in front of a television and then in front of video games, and then, you know, gave them a cell phone. I remember I worked at a cell phone store in 2001 when I was in college, and a lady came in to get her 12-year-old a cell phone, and we were all appalled. We were just like, are you kidding? She's getting a phone for her 12-year-old. Now I've got friends with like 6-year-old kids that have phones. And, you know, it's just the evolution of how society goes. And I don't have a problem with the fact that things change. But it does feel very much like we need to go on autopilot because we are so extended. And so where that lands is on the kids, you know, or, you know, I say this too, because I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He grew up poor. He had a single mom. He had three brothers. And in the end, she worked two jobs. And in the end, they were as afraid of her as they were anything else, because even in the little bit of time she had with them, she impressed it on them that they were to grow up. There was no option. They were to grow up as good men who did these things. They were to work hard. They were to study. They were to, you know, do the things that are set before them. And to me, that's something that maybe we don't all have the patience to do. I don't have kids, probably because I don't have the patience to do all that. And I'm not making a judgment. Like, it's not about you shouldn't have kids or anything like that. But you owe it to that child to give them a fighting chance at life, because in the end, they're going to be the ones that get their butts kicked.
Yeah, no, look, I'm guilty of this. I read some of that and felt like I was tearing a scab off, because I was part of that first generation of parents who threw an iPhone in their kids' hands. You know, we that was our demographic. And just like, I guess, my age group was the first whose parents threw in front of cable television.
Yeah.
It was like, here's 400 channels, satellite TV, whatever, you know.
See,
enjoy.
And my parents let us watch 30 minutes of TV a day. And then otherwise our entertainment was reading books.
Yeah.
And it's just because they refused to let us, like, brain drain in front of the TV. And I'm not saying they were better than anybody else. It's just they were both very academic. My dad went to Princeton. My mom went to Vanderbilt. Like, it was about teaching you to read and to study and to do those things. I was lucky. I'm not taking credit for that. I mean, that was absolutely just a blessing that they gave me, and it's why I'm a writer, and it's, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the hard part is now it's just everybody, like I said, is so overextended, you know?
No, I agree. I mean, I'm now discovered, 'cause my mom and dad both worked. My dad had a store, worked 14, 15 hours a day. My mom worked two jobs, typically. You know, they were there. Although me and my sister kind of raised ourselves for the most part until dad got a little closer to not having to be at the store as much, hired somebody, and they went and did the tournament softball stuff.
Right.
I was kind of left to my own demise, per se.
Typical Generation X, though.
You know, and did the things I shouldn't have done and had a good time doing it. But, you know, it set me back about 10 years in my progression as an adult.
Sure.
You know, so I'm just now getting around over the last couple of years to appreciate reading more and, you know, watering my mind.
Yeah, and parents, a good thing is, like, my dad, I remember when I didn't make cheerleader my freshman year in high school, my dad brought me an ad from the local newspaper, the Kapai County Courier, that said they were looking for sports stringers, and, you know, they wanted people to write sports for him, basically. And my dad walks in with that ad, and I'm crying on my bed because, oh, God, I didn't make cheerleader. And he put it down in front of me, and he said, go tell that man you can write. And I was like, but why? And he said, because it gets you on the sideline of a football game just like you would be if you were a cheerleader. And I was like, ooh. And so that's what started my journalism career, was my dad being like, go get a job. You know, and I have worked almost every day since I was 15 years old. And on the one hand, I'm tired. On the other hand, it's like I had to take great pride in that. And I'm grateful that my dad, you know, saw a void there and something that could, you know, I don't know. I was a dramatic teenage girl. But, you know, he gave me a gift that has carried me through my life. When nothing else was working right, when nobody else loved me, my job was there and it fed me, you know.
Nice, nice. That's good stuff. So you basically been doing journalism since you were 15?
Off and on, but yeah, mostly on. I always say my career spans three decades.
That's awesome. So. All right, we're going to take a break real quick. You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show. I'm joined today by Therese Apel with DarkHorsePressNow.com, and we'll be right back after this break on 103.9. All right, welcome back to The Clay Edwards Show. We are live here in the Generator Power Solutions studio, and this segment will be brought to you by Watkins Construction and Roofing. Look, man, a bad roof can cause a lot of stress. Choosing the right roofing company to repair your roof is very important. Most contractors will try to convince you that replacement is the only way to go, and that, my friends, is not the Watkins way. They believe in an honest assessment that doesn't necessarily mean replacement. In most cases, all you need is a repair. So whether you have a leaky roof, need chimney roof repair, flat roof repair, roof water leak, shingle roof repair, metal roof repair, or chimney flashing repair, Watkins Construction Roofing is your go-to roof repair specialist. Give them a call today for your complimentary roof assessment at 601-966-8233 or check them out online at WatkinsConstructionInc.com. All right. Therese, there was a story that broke yesterday. As soon as I left the station yesterday morning, I was riding home and I got the push notification from WLBT or somewhere. And I almost had a wreck reading it. And it says, Hazelhurst police officer responds to gunshot call.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
To find her son dead in the road.
Mm-hmm.
My heart skipped a beat.
Yeah. And as a former first responder, that is the nightmare of every police officer, firefighter, EMT. It's that you go to a call and you don't know who you're going to until you get there, obviously. And it turns out to be someone you love.
It's terrible, man. I stumbled into some of the pictures and stuff online, doing a little research last night. I went to your website for the source on the story, and
mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a whole lot to it yet. It's really sad to see. The kid's name is 20 years old, still a kid to me.
Yeah,
Charles Stewart Jr.
Yeah, and I think the hard part is, you know, it's like you think about, you know, as a police officer in Hazelhurst, when I moved there in high school, you know, when our family moved there, was 4,500 people. I can't imagine it's any bigger than that now, if not smaller.
So she also knows who killed her son, most likely. I mean,
yeah, the person who killed him is more than likely somebody they both knew.
Probably broke bread with.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you don't expect, as a police officer in Hazelhurst, to go to a body in the road call and find it's your son who's been murdered. You know, and you just can't even, like, back in 2009, I had a friend that died in a plane crash. He was a very close friend. And, of course, I'm sitting in the newsroom at the Daily Leader in Brookhaven, and we hear a call of a plane crash come over, and they're paging fire departments from all over the place. It was in Pike County. So I get in the car, and I just start hauling butt up the interstate, because, yay, plane crash. You know, as a reporter, that's like a big story. And it's that's where I learned about not getting so excited about the big stories, because I got there and it turned out, or on the way up there, I found out it was this good friend of mine. And I didn't believe it. I just kept calling his phone and being like, okay, you jerk, they're saying that you were in that plane that crashed. Like, answer me, call me back, whatever. But it was going straight to voicemail. That was traumatic, but it's nothing that compares to finding your own son there.
No, I mean, I mean, literally. And then I did not know it was a mother initially. I thought it was, I just assumed father,
mm-hmm.
the sexist to me there. But when I got to reading the story, when I finally got stopped and could read, that it was the mother, and I can't I can't fathom what, you know, this take into account motherly instinct and the bond that a person has with their mother.
Sure.
You know, that's a physical, true mental, spiritual bond. Mm-hmm. To find your child there like that is devastating. I mean, devastating for a man as well, but just I know how mothers think.
Well, and the fact is, you were there when he came into the world. You don't ever expect to be there when he leaves.
That's a very nice spin on that, because it's tough, man. I just, my heart went out.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I have seen the listeners of this radio show do some amazing things. And so, guys, if you're someone who prays, just keep that lady in your prayers.
Yeah, absolutely. They haven't released her name, but
I imagine they probably won't. I would hope.
I would hope not. I mean, they released the kid's name.
Yeah,
but he was an adult, so I guess there's that.
Yeah,
so,
no, you would do that, like, as far as journalism ethics go. Yeah, but and you could release the mother's name ethically, mm-hmm. But I think it's a respect thing to let her grieve in as much privacy as she can possibly have. You know.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you never know anybody's insurance situation or whatnot. There could end up being a GoFundMe for funeral expenses or something down the road. We'll find out. If there are, I promise you, if you listen to this show, you'll hear about it.
I'm texting myself to remind me to check on that today.
So, look, prayers to everybody down there, prayers to the family, prayers to the kid, and hopefully whoever did this will end up in jail for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad, man. It's hard to transition from that to anything else, because that's such a heavy deal there, but we're gonna try. So
let's do it.
Let's shift to something positive here. This also from darkhorsepressnow.com. Let's talk about the Southern Outdoor Super Hunt.
Yes, yeah. So we've talked about that before, but I went with them and stayed the weekend and shot the video of the kids getting to hunt and stuff. I've been putting this video together what seems like forever, but it's been about 2 months, and that's just because there was a lot that went into it and a lot of moving pieces, and also just a really busy schedule. But so we have a segment that we call Stepping Up to Serve, and we use it to focus on people who are doing things that are making the world a better place. They can be first responders, but they don't have to be. And so we did kind of a special feature for Stepping Up to Serve, and just focused on the good work that Southern Outdoors Unlimited is doing, particularly with, you know, what we just had in October was the Super Hunt. And man, those kids. I mean, everybody kept talking about, like, how you just feel like the kids have done more for you than you've done for them. And it is the truth. These special needs kids, man, they're just amazing.
I want to highlight one of them in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And
I loved him.
Having to get that BBD.
Yes.
That's a big butt doe. In honor of his grandfather, who I believe had died on that very day 5 years
prior.
This is on, you can go to darkhorsepressnow.com and find the story and click on it. The YouTube video is in there. Or if you will go follow Dark Horse Press Now on YouTube and hit that subscribe button and like the video and share it, it'll bring some good into somebody's life.
Absolutely.
And but it's on YouTube as well. The video is sourced from YouTube into the story there. Go check it out. Highly recommended. It will put a smile on your face.
Yeah, and I wish I could have actually captured the things that made me cry all weekend, but Tyler was one of them. I didn't get to go to where he was hunting. I would love to know if he got that BBD,
the big
butt doe.
And I made a note to ask, did you get to try some of Miss Jarvis's famous banana pudding?
It was amazing. Miss Jarvis can make the heck out of some banana pudding.
All the food looked good in that video.
It was so good.
I was 11:30 watching that video last night thinking, I want a buffet right now.
I mean, when I was editing, I was like, geez, I'm so glad like payday is coming, because this food looks incredible. It's way better than the macaroni I'm eating at home.
All right, look, man, we're going to take a break real quick, get back on track here on our time, and we'll be right back after this break on 103.9 WYA. All right, welcome back to the Clay Edwards Show. We are live here in the Generator Power Solutions studio. And look, we're going to have to take another quick break. No, hold on. My time is off. No, we're good.
That's the scary thing about radio.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, we're good at the top of the hour. We had ran long on a segment, and I was worried I didn't make it up in time. So let's talk about Betty White. This is something soft in the hour here. And I know Crystal's listening right now, and she was a huge Betty White fan. I came home last night. She's watching Golden Girls.
Yeah.
And were you a Betty White?
I was not. Like, I was a fan of Betty White the human, but I kind of didn't like all the characters that she played. Well, I say that. Rose. I did not like the Golden Girls, and I just felt like Rose's character was so stupid. And that's just that I just wasn't raised watching it. So when I had a roommate several years back that watched it all the time, part of me was like, why? But that said, it's just, it wasn't my cup of tea. There's nothing wrong with the Golden Girls. But I loved Betty White for being a veteran. Yeah. And I loved it that she loved animals. And I loved it that she was kind to people. And I loved it that she lost a show because she let a black guy dance. And when they told her not to do it again, she said, live with it. You know, she's somebody that I think we should all aspire to be a lot more like.
Yeah, Crystal sent me something yesterday about, Betty White. It's the Betty White Challenge. It's like on Betty White's 100th birthday, January 17th, everyone should pick a local animal rescue or shelter in your area. Donate just $5 in Betty White's name. Make her 100th birthday a movement she deserves. So it's not a very well-written meme there. But
sure.
Long story short, donate $5 to Kara or Cheshire or any of those, and in Betty White's name here locally.
Well, and don't just think small animals, although I'm an all animals person, so I hate to do that, but you know, Mississippi horses could use it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these rescues for the larger animals are in crisis right now because the prices of farming stuff and feed supplies and that kind of thing have gone up exponentially.
Yeah, that's a good point. We should get somebody on the show one day.
Mm-hmm.
Or you sound pretty well versed on it. But we should have a conversation about that one day, because that's something that, because I consider myself more of an urban redneck, that I don't know a whole lot about the horses and the farming and stuff of that nature, because I didn't grow up around it.
Right.
You know, I would like to get into that and kind of what this economy and what's happening with inflation and everything that's going on, how it's affecting farming.
Big time.
And stuff, because I mean, I see a lot of it out there on the internet. Then I see a lot of stuff where people say, they get paid not to farm on some stuff and not to grow this crop and to do this, that, and the other. It's an interesting thing going on out there with farming. But by no means do I know enough about it to even want to kick that can and get controversial about it.
I can round up some farm folks.
I bet you can. We're out here in Florida. You probably throw a rock and hit one.
Right, exactly.
Every time I stop at that gas station right there, I get out of usually in Crystal's little two-door Civic. It's a big guy getting out of a little car. They're probably thinking of me like, what in the world is this guy doing?
Right.
And they're all in their big doolies with their cowboy hats and this, that, and the other, and looking like Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Over there at the gas station.
I had a friend that came to visit from a northern state. She was from Iowa. And it was so funny because, like, she was looking at these folks and like, oh my gosh, like, it really actually looks like the movies here. And I'm like, y'all don't have cowboys? Seriously? I'm sure they do. I'm sure she just lived in Des Moines.
Like, I consider Iowa more of a cowboy.
Y'all got the potatoes and stuff.
Yeah, isn't that where Napoleon Dynamite was filmed?
Right. Probably so, yeah. I don't remember.
There's something about potatoes.
Yeah.
And a quesadillas.
There's no way that we're more redneck than them when on New Year's Eve they drop a giant flaming potato. Okay, not a ball like everybody else. It's a giant flaming potato. I just saw a video of that yesterday. So
that just moved to the top of my bucket list. next New Year's Eve, we're going to Idaho.
Right. Yep. We're gonna go live as the flaming potato drops.
Man, that's good stuff. All right, look here. After this break, we're going to get into the dueling Hinds County supervisors.
Oh, boy.
The legislative session starts today. We got all kind of stuff. The Theranos trial has come sort of to an end, the Elizabeth Holmes stuff. And is Joe Rogan a threat? We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Clay Edwards Show. We're live here in the Generator Power Solutions studio, and this segment is brought to you by Lakeland Glass and Tint. That's right. Where quality matters, right over there on Lakeland Drive. My good friend Jason Anderson and the team, whether you need your car, truck, or SUV windshields replaced, they got you covered. You need your home, car, or business windows tinted, they got you covered. They're also getting into the vehicle wrap business. So if you need your vehicle wrapped, with this just a protective shield wrapping, or if you want to promote your business on it, they got the graphic designers, the whole nine yards. They can take care of that too now. So check out Lakeland Glass and Tint for all your vehicle tinting, wrapping, and glass needs.
I love it when you say vehicle wrap the first time, because I always think of like a wrapper mm-hmm. rapping about cars.
I think it's
Sir Mix-a-Lot. I realize what you're talking about.
I think it's Sir Mix-a-Lot, Posse on Broadway.
Yep.
Yeah. Some set up on the trunk, some set up on the hood, some set up with the driver to make him feel good.
Vehicle rep.
Give him a call today at 601-946-1000 or check him out online at lakelandglassandtent.com. All right, so I tell people all the time, they're like, I don't like talking about politics. I'm like, well, we don't really talk about politics necessarily. This isn't a political show. This is a reality show. We talk about everything going on in the world.
I'm the one that definitely doesn't talk about politics very often, though.
I think the word politics gets bastardized a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like anything that's not puppies and murder is politics.
And that's a good way to put it.
You know, it's like this isn't politics. But we are, what we are about to do is discuss a little politics because the legislative session is starting today.
Yes, sir.
And there are two things that I think are important. Three things that I think are very important to Mississippi. Getting this marijuana thing situated, getting the initiative thing situated, which they may or may not cover in this deal. I hope they do, because I think you need to get some faith back in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my buddy Fred Shanks is in charge of that committee. So, Fred, we'll help you get it done, brother.
Yep.
Lee Yancey is handling the marijuana thing. Mm-hmm. So, Lee, we're looking at you. And there's one that's important to you.
Yes. So, we've been talking lately in the news about death benefits for first responders that have died of COVID. There's been kind of a back and forth between law enforcement leaders and DPS Commissioner Sean Tindall about whether or not dying of COVID in the line of duty is actually a line of duty death and whether the family deserves benefits. So my understanding is that right now, Tindall has told me that he's pushing that to go through the legislature now. He said there's not a reason that he thinks they shouldn't get the benefits, but that he feels like they don't have necessarily the money and the budget to do it. On the other hand, the law enforcement leaders say that in a conversation they had with him on a conference call, that he said that, you know, he doesn't feel like it should count. So they went to the attorney general and got an opinion. And in our state statutes and stuff, it says if you die of some kind of, you know, disease contracted on duty, then that would be the case. Like if you got a needle stick and it had AIDS or, you know, anything like that. So that said, it's definitely been kind of a topic of discussion that's been going on. And hopefully they'll handle it the right way in the legislature.
Yeah. Other than financial, and I mean, I have no control over that, there's no reason why. If we're giving all the COVID money that we've given away and for all these causes, and they're using COVID money for social justice initiatives and all this other stuff,
mm-hmm.
if you've got money to do all that and to line pockets and this, that, and the other, you got it to take care of our frontline folks.
And I don't care who you are or which side of the table you sit on. You are shameful if you would call the police to protect you if there's somebody outside your house or whatever like that. But you don't see the need for them to have some compensation should they contract COVID on duty. They're essential workers. They don't have a choice. They have to be at work.
We paid people not to work.
Right. We paid people not to work.
Because of COVID.
Right.
So the people that have to work should be compensated fairly in life or death.
Right.
From having to work during the world's worst pandemic ever.
Right. And, you know, DPS just gave $1,000 hazard pay to each of their, on-duty employees. And even that, like, it was a nice gesture. But that's like, you know, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice if you get it at one time. It's an extra $1,000.
And they did it at Christmas. So that was good.
You know, I mean, nobody's going to be mad they got it. But again, you're right. That's a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got all this money that we waste on nonsense, and we paid people not to work, and we pay all this stupid money, and we start all these stupid initiatives with this COVID money. We need to take care of our people, and the rest will take care of itself.
Right. Like, I could practically buy new shoes with COVID money, but we've got cops and firefighters and first responders dying on the streets from COVID. Not on the streets. I'm getting a little dramatic there. But the point is, you know, they have to do their job. They're saving lives.
Yep.
And then, you know.
We've raised the amount of money people are getting on their EBT cards and all this, that, and the other. There's people with $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 on grocery cards that they'll never use. So we're wasting money. And I know that's different in state and federal, but I'm lumping it all together here. Still, we have found ways to give people money that they don't need. Let's give people money that need it.
Right, right. You know? And if you're the wife of a police or the husband of a police officer that's died on duty, especially during the COVID pandemic. I mean, it's really like walking into gunfire every day, especially during the height of the more dangerous variant, you know, and just hoping you don't get hit.
Yeah.
You know?
It's something else, man. It really is. I hope they get that worked out, because that seems like an easy thing. The state needs to look at itself like an employer, mm-hmm. also. Take care of your employees, you know?
Yeah.
These first responders, did they ever get it worked out on, like, ambulance drivers? Is that part of this, too, them being considered, like, first responders?
So, with paramedics and EMTs, part of the issue is that ambulance services are private. Yeah. So, there becomes a little bit of a problem there, in that the state can do this for state workers or, you know, I mean, police departments, things like that. I don't know. And I asked somebody at one point, it's in one of our stories, about that, and they couldn't give me a clear answer because it is a private situation.
Yeah. I mean, there was an ambulance driver or paramedic that died here recently.
Doug Ming.
Yeah, yeah. That was very loved. And
very much. Mean,
I didn't know him personally, but man, apparently I'm the only person out of my 5,000 friends on Facebook that didn't know him. And I feel like I missed out on getting to meet a great man,
yeah.
because I read so many great things about him.
Yeah, and there are so many people that grieved him openly, and what a life if that's when you go, that like people are that torn up about it enough that the whole world, not the whole world, but you know, Mississippi knows your name now.
Mm-hmm.
And before this, there are a lot of people who would have just said, oh, he's just a paramedic. He's just an ambulance driver. But I mean, look at the difference he made, and his family, you know, I don't know if they get benefits or not. I guess it depends on what his ambulance service does. Yeah.
You know, I try to, you know, you mentioned that. I want to pivot a little. You mentioned that he was just a, you know, he was just a people. That's how people think about stuff people do.
Right. And put quotes around that, because that's not my opinion.
I know.
Yeah.
Not what you're saying. And he lived a life that he was more than that. And I think that's something we should all strive to do. I know, I've said this before. I never want to be known as a guy that just did a fill in the blank. It was just a fill in the blank. You know, I want to be Clay Edwards. You know, the guy that did this when so-and-so needed it. The guy that, you know, this, that, and the other. Never would mm-hmm. I earn my paychecks, not what I want to be remembered as the guy that did that.
Right. Well, and the thing that I've posted on Facebook several times when it got particularly ugly. But, like, so back in the day, the way you remembered your parents, your grandparents, that kind of thing, is if hopefully they wrote each other letters or you've got pictures or whatever like that. Right now with social media, we are memorializing every thought we have. Do you want for your kids to go back one day and look at your Facebook and be like, gosh, mom was always mad? Or like, gosh, my mom was mean? Or, you know, my dad, gosh, like he needed to get off the, you know, COVID train? Or, I mean, just whatever. And so to me, it's like, if this is going to be the legacy that I, or not the legacy, but if this is going to be the memorial that I leave, you know, God.
That's a legacy.
Is there a way to, yeah, I guess so. Is there a way to make sure that the people that come after me that loved me won't be like, God, I wish she hadn't said all that. You know?
Every day on Facebook, I check my memories and I delete a healthy amount of them.
Yeah, I do too.
And I'm like, oh, how did that survive last year's purge?
Mm-hmm.
That one snuck through.
And I found a lot of stuff I wasn't scared to say when I was, you know, 27 or 28, that now I'm like, oh, stop that.
I've got a group text with Chad Wesley and Jake Wimberly, and it, most of it mainly consists of our Facebook memories, and we're like, wow. You know, Chad was like Nostradamus. Jake doesn't really participate, but he just laughs at our stuff.
Right.
But me and Chad are back and forth. Mine are just like, I can't believe it. Like text from last night.
Right. Yeah.
Know, and stuff like that. Like, I can't believe I said that on social media.
Right.
You know, and Chad's like, I was right about this 10 mm-hmm. years ago.
And it's funny to think about, like, the way I thought about things in my mid-20s or my early 30s is not the way I think about things now. But I declared them like they were God's gospel back then.
Add this. This is the 11th commandment.
Right.
Yeah, I was definitely like, my MySpace blogs, they should be preserved Smithsonian.
Yeah, if I could figure out how to get back into MySpace, I'm sure there's a lot in there that I'd just, you know, just burn it to the ground.
Well, if you ever got mad and deleted your MySpace page, it actually went away.
Yeah.
There was no retrieving. You didn't reactivate it.
Right.
It was
gone.
It was gone. There were many a night I got home and was like, I'm mad. I'm deleting my MySpace. That'll teach them.
Showed them.
Yeah. Then I get those calls from people like, why did you delete me off my space? I'm like, I did. I deleted me off my space.
Right, right. And I still, that's still funny because my friends will be like, I think so-and-so deleted me on Facebook. And I'm like, are they, did they block you or like what's going on? So I'll go look for that person. And they've just, you know, taken their Facebook down. And I'm like, no, no, you didn't get deleted. You didn't get blocked. You just, they did.
Well, did you did you search their name and to see if they're still there?
Right.
Now, if you see that you've been unfriended, then, you know,
yeah,
it is what it is. I do like that they have the option to mute people for times.
Yes. And, thank God for that.
Where I catch myself using that feature more than any is I'm in a bunch of these Facebook groups and yard sale groups because when I was in the car business, I was always posting stuff for sale. Well, now somebody will take, and I know I do, I'm bad about this, but somebody will take one item and they'll post it in 30 groups.
Yeah.
And if you're in all those groups, it eats up 4 or 5 swipes of your of your timeline.
Yeah.
I'm like, mute this person. Mm-hmm. And it makes all that go away.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, like hit the 3 little dots on any one of them. It's like mute all from whomever. Mm-hmm. And it's always somebody selling something for like $5 or $10. I'm like, is it really worth the effort?
Right.
To put something. Anytime I see somebody selling a toy or a pair of jeans or something like this for $5 or $10, I'm thinking drugs. And I know that's not the right thing, but I just, that's the effort cannot be worth. I mean, then again, I know there's the other side where you say, well, Clay, maybe somebody's that hard up for food or something.
I've been that broke before, but it, you know, like generally, and I've never posted on Facebook about it, but yeah. There have been times like I'm taking stuff to different places like, would y'all want this or anybody want to buy this or whatever like that? And I never want to go back there again.
Well, I just think that if you're selling something for $5 mm-hmm. on Facebook Marketplace, you're either okay with complete strangers coming to your house to get it,
right?
Or you're going to spend $5 or more in gas going to get that $5.
Right.
The return on investment doesn't seem worth the time or any of it for me. Mm-mm. You let a complete stranger find out where you live.
Right.
Or you had to invest more than $5 in time and or gas.
Or like what happened to me, I had a washing machine that had broken. And so it's like I kept looking on YouTube how to fix it, and it involved taking all kinds of stuff apart. And honestly, my biggest problem with being single is that I don't do all the big heavy lifting man work. Like I've learned to do a lot of the man work around the house, but when it came to fixing my washer, there was no way.
Man, I called Matt Phillips over at Phillips Appliance the other day. We had our drain went out on our dryer drain or pump or whatever. Washer, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Washer pump went out. And I just made one. I'm not even going to try.
Yeah.
I was like, Matt, please.
Well, and that was my thing. It was like I looked at all the different ways or different things it could be. And so finally I put it on Facebook. And I put it up for $75. Of course, he talks me down to $50 because that's how that works. I didn't realize that. I thought I was going to get $75 for it, but that's not how Facebook plays.
Whatever you want, you have to start at double.
Right.
And then the negotiator wants to break it down to half. And then you go jump back up. So you end up knocking 25% off.
Right. And to add insult to injury, I told him when he picked it up, I said, I know that it's not working. I just don't know what it is. I know that, you know, the engine comes or the sound comes on, but it doesn't spin, whatever. He sends me a text like 45 minutes later and it's working just fine. He's like, oh, it was just the pump or whatever it was that was the easiest thing to fix.
Yeah.
Cause I went back to YouTube to make sure that was the one that I could have just opened the front door and tightened a screw or something. So yeah, that's my problem with Facebook. It's like those people that are like, oh, hey, thanks for the free washer.
I mean, they basically paid you to haul it off.
Right, right, yeah. Exactly.
All right, look, we got to take a break real quick. You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show. I'm joined today by Therese April. We are live in the Generator Power Solutions studio. We'll be right back here on 103.9 WYAB. Live here in the Generator Power Solutions studio. And no better time than to plug my friends over there at Generator Power Solutions. Look, y'all know my spiel. It's getting cold outside. It takes me back to a terrible February day, multi-week time period, however you want to say it, in central Mississippi last year, where we were without power, we were without water. Hell, I still think Jackson may be under a boil water notice from last year.
I mean, I think if you live in Jackson, you should just plan on boiling your water anyway.
Yeah. Me and Chip were talking about that yesterday. I'm kind of rehashing my same joke, but I mean it. And the colder it gets outside, the more I mean it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I know it's supposed to warm back up tomorrow at some point.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know if Jackson can sustain this.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck, Jacksonians. But hey, Generator Power Solutions can't do anything for your water, but they can help keep your water filter on.
That's right.
And by having a home backup generator, they can help you with your power. So give the guys a call. A permanently installed Generac home backup generator protects your home automatically. It runs on natural gas or liquid propane. and it sits outside just like a central air conditioning unit. A home backup generator delivers power directly to your home's electrical system, backing up the entire home or just the most essential items. You can check them out online at generatorpowersolutionsllc.com or give them a call at 601-519-4064. And look, say you've got a generator and you need to get some work done. They'll come out, they'll maintenance that thing, they'll make sure it's good and ready and rocking and rolling for you. And they also sell the small portable generators in case, you know, maybe the big one's not in your budget or you just don't have a need for it.
Right.
You know, you're going hunting, it's that time of the year, you need something for the camp, whatever. They got those quiet run.
So you don't chase all the deer off in the meantime.
Yeah, there's Generac and they sell the Generac stuff, which is just top of the line nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So give them a call, 601-519-4064. And we have a caller here on line one. Hey,
caller,
you're on the air.
I just want to say to Russ that I'm sure it was an aha moment to have Maggie Wade give Dark Horse Press a plug on her camp reporting. Good job, Teresa.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I used to work for WLBT, and we still maintain a really, really friendly relationship. So it definitely is always good to see that.
All right. All right. Well, to the point.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is something that is worth mentioning, is that the folks at WLBT have been really supportive since we got started and kind of, you know, just said, well, we don't want to, you know, we don't want this to be a, you know, you left us and started your own thing. So I do work for them on occasion. I did a story for them last week on the Canton gang stuff and that kind of thing. So, yeah, there's still a really good relationship there.
There's enough room in this town for multiple outlets. People like to get their news from different things. People look at, we had this conversation last mm-hmm. Monday. There's different types of news that I get from different sources.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the thing is too, like, we all have different talents, and it's the reason that I am competitive. I will try hard to beat you on a story, but if it comes down to it, once I've got my story up, if you need help with your information, I'm happy to help most people. But it's because as journalists, we shouldn't be here to promote ourselves. We should be here to make sure the public's informed.
Agreed. All right. So that actually sets up a nice little transition here.
Good.
Me and Chip were talking yesterday. The Joe Rogan and Dr. Robert Malone interview came out over the weekend. And I'm not going to bog you down with the politics of the Dr. Malone interview, the COVID and all that stuff. But it set up an interesting conversation because he got kicked off Twitter, and this is the guy that invented or partook in inventing the mRNA vaccines. He's vaccinated the whole nine yards, but he's been kicked off Twitter because yada, yada, yada. But he goes on Rogan, and which is probably going to end up becoming Rogan's biggest podcast ever. And so somebody came out, and of course the media, the big mainstream media, the big evil conglomerate monsters, you know, the boogeyman.
Right.
They
only exist because we feed them, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're on their typical smearing of Rogan stuff, horse paste, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the ratings here from Spotify on the most popular podcast. And I feel like this is why they're scared of Rogan and independent media in general. This is kind mm-hmm. of my point I'm making here. Joe Rogan is as independent as it gets. It's just him and his producer, and he's got a little team. But, I mean, it's just using media, using social media. And, look, I know Spotify paid him a bunch of money. But at the end of the day, he built that thing from the ground up,
sure.
Has stayed true to who he is. And I made the argument. I said, you know, could we say that Joe Rogan is, right now anyway, the most important media figure in the country because he's creating the space to have real conversation that's not combative and argumentative, and you're allowed to hear another side's thought all the way through outside of just the 30-second hot takes and bickering and all this stuff that we get on the nightly news. Yeah, so whether you agree with Dr. Malone or any of these other people, you get to hear their thought fully through
mm-hmm.
on a major platform
right.
with a guy like Joe asking the questions that your, no pun intended, your average Joes think and see and hear and want to ask too, and have them made sense by a PhD, a scientist,
sure.
or whomever. I just think and these are people that are getting canceled for sharing these opinions or facts even. On Twitter or wherever else because they don't fit the national narrative,
right?
Which I think is a very scary place to be in.
Well, and I think, first, let me comment that if you're a journalist, if you call yourself a journalist or a reporter or any of those actual words that mean that you are the news, and not a blog and not whatever like that, then you owe it to your people to give both sides. You owe it to yourself and to your brand that you're trying to move and all that. You've got to give both sides. And so anyone that's doing that right now, it's so funny. People act like it's novel, but it's what they should be doing. And we should absolutely be supporting journalists that do that. The other thing is, though, sometimes with some of these independent, you know, outlets, they'll have huge numbers because there are huge people, a huge number of people that want to, you know, hear what they want to hear, which is what you see with MSNBC and Fox, is that there are people that believe this. They want somebody to tell them this story. So it doesn't seem...
Echo chambers.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's been part of the war as the world has gotten more digital, is we've lost the integrity of journalism in, you know, like the other... Well, a couple months ago, I wrote a story about a family whose loved one was shot by police. It was not against the police. I gave their side. I gave the family's side. It was just a snapshot of this moment in time of, you know, the grieving of a family that can't really make sense of what happened because they weren't there, how the police have to handle it and are trying to be as fair as they can to the family within the bounds of NBI's investigation, things like that. I got trashed from both sides. And you know what that means? I did it right. You know, and that's something that if Rogan's doing that, I'm not that familiar with him, which I'm embarrassed to say because I know everybody else is. But
well, for this ratings chart, this third quarter 2021 media ratings chart that I have here from Nielsen, it shows me one thing: that conservatives own the podcasting space, which I find unique. That conservatives own anything in tech, they don't own the technology. But right. They own the space. Joe Rogan's average listeners, he gets 11 million downloads a show.
Mm-hmm.
That's mind-boggling.
It is.
There's nobody watching. There's 11 million people aren't watching anything outside of the Super Bowl.
Mm-mm.
And the occasional Dallas Cowboys game.
Right.
Those are huge numbers. And he's only on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So let that soak in. The next closest one is Tucker Carlson with 3.24 million. And then the five, that's Fox News stuff. And all the way down at the bottom is MSNBC with 1.27. They're the first, Rachel Maddow is the first, what I would call a left winger, 2.2 million. Then MSNBC primetime with 1.27. And then CNN primetime with 0.82. It's 820,000. But I'm just looking at this Joe Rogan number. Mm-hmm. Not even trying to belittle anybody else there.
Yeah, no, that's really impressive.
And it just makes people are thirsting for real conversation. It shows me that people don't want, even though we catch ourselves in these petty back and forth fights on social media and these little clapback arguments and talking head shows on Fox and CNN and this, that, and the other. That's what we're fed, and it's the only thing on those channels. But this is what people want.
Yeah. And, you know,
education. They want to be educated.
What I've found in doing what we're doing is that we have so many people thanking us for what we're doing. Yep. And I'm like, we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm going to go listen to Joe Rogan now because, I mean, as many times as I've heard his name, I just tend to not get excited about national anybody.
Yeah.
You know, my work is here in this state.
No.
You know, so I do want to hear what he's got to say, because to me it's so important if people are doing that. Like, just give me the news. Let me decide how I feel about it.
Exactly. And I mean, and he doesn't claim to be a journalist by any means. He's just he has a huge platform, and he's giving people who have been deplatformed an opportunity to explain it. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't think they're bat crap crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But he treats them respectfully and lets them tell their story and lets you make up your own mind.
Yeah. Well,
I love that.
What you were saying a minute ago about, you know, just getting into the back and forth on social media and that kind of thing. I think one of the poisons that we've got going on with the way the media is today, and social media especially, is that people are addicted to the adrenaline rush they get when they get on social media and they trash somebody else.
A dopamine rush.
Yeah, it's basically like, oh, I just want to fist fight, only I didn't have to fist fight because I'm a coward and I've got a keyboard.
No, I love that meme that says the problem with today's generation is enough people ain't been punched in the mouth.
And I can't agree with that more, because if you've ever been punched in the mouth, you know that you don't want it to happen again.
Exactly. All right, look, we're going to take a break real quick. We'd love to get you guys' opinions on any of this stuff. Do you think Joe Rogan's got the most important show on in media right now based on what on the platform he's providing folks? Or if I'm crazy, let me know that too. 601-879-0002 is the call-in line, and we'll be right back after this break on 103.9. This segment's going to be brought to you by our friend Miss Christy Kendall and her team over there at the Mississippi Karting Association and driveyourline.com. They're going to be set up at the Mississippi Trademark Center this weekend for the Bank Plus. Is that this weekend? Yeah, this weekend for the Bank Plus Racing Vehicle Extravaganza. Go check them out. They're going to have everything from your five-year-old entry-level racing carts to your twin-engine, lay-down, 150-mile-per-hour go-karts that they race around Daytona.
Amazing.
And they're going to have all the classes out there. You're going to have a bunch of folks out there. You can go talk to them, look at carts, get to know the team. And it should be a blast. And look, I'm just going to be honest with you. The Racing Vehicle Extravaganza, whatever it costs to get in, it's worth it. It's one of those cool events, and it only comes around once a year, and it's indoors in the air conditioning or the heater, depending on what day of the week it is. So check that out, and you can check them out online at driveyourline.com or give them a call at 601-667-0770. And we've got a caller on line one and two here. Let's start with line one. Hey, caller, you're on there.
Hey, Clay. Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment on the Jackson Water deal.
Yes, sir.
I'm a business owner in Jackson, and I live in Byram. But in Jackson, we get these, and of course, we're on the Jackson Water System in Byram also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you get the double dip into it.
Yeah. And anyway, in Jackson, we get these letters every few weeks about the water quality. And, of course, you know, regarding the boil water notice, there's no telling how long we're drinking contaminated water, you know, before they send out these notices. But anyway, in the notices, it says that, and these are like pre-formatted notices, so they have these things ready to go according to what the health department says. The health department mandates that they send these letters out of water quality. And the thing about it is the letter tends to want to blame, you know, like lead poisoning, and it's, the lead levels are always at an elevated level. And they sometimes it even says that the fecal matter is at a high level.
Wow.
In the water. I do have some of the letters. And anyway, they tend to want to blame some of these lead levels on your pipes in your home. But, you know, the surprising thing about it is the health department's not testing the pipes that after the water comes through your home, it's testing them at the water plant.
Right. Yeah, they're testing it from meter to house. I mean, from meter to plant, not meter to house.
Exactly. And so, you know, they're very incorrect about saying it may be your pipes, you know. But anyway, they have to send these letters out. You know, I just can't help but wonder how many people's health is in jeopardy because of this contaminated water. And Clay, to be honest with you, for years we've been getting these water reports, and the water has never been safe to drink in years.
Oh, look, you know, I lived there my entire life up till this past March, and about 10 years ago we bought a Kangen water filter. It ionizes the water. It's not your typical cheap Walmart water filter per se. It's not a puree or whatever. It's the real deal, and I would do water tests because it came with a test kit. I would test the city water, and then I would test it, and it was a drastic difference. Mm-hmm. And it's the only water I would use at the house. I mean, unfortunately, I would use faucet water to brush my teeth, take a bath, all that stuff. But as far as drinking and cooking, I would only use that water filter. Yeah. But I understand not everybody has access to a $4,000 water filter.
Right.
Well, that's true. And, of course, in my case, I don't use Jackson's water. I make my coffee with bottled water. And I cook with bottled water. I mean, I do flush toilets and take a shower with Jackson water, but, you know, otherwise I'm not going to cook with it or consume it internally myself, you know, because I read these reports, you know. They're very scary.
And that's the reports they're sending. Imagine what you don't know, you know, and they stay in trouble with the Mississippi Department of Environmental Quality about this stuff all the time.
Right.
About not giving out the proper information, or they always blame it on some miscalculation. It's never their fault, and it's never as bad as it really is. No matter what it is, there's some underlying reason that they can't do nothing about.
Well, and that was what I was going to say, too, is the city of Jackson is very good at pointing out that everything is somebody else's fault, whether it's crime, whether it's bad water, whether it's infrastructure, that kind of thing. So that doesn't surprise me, but it does appall me.
Yeah, that's I'll agree with that. And, you know, the thing that's so surprising is that, you know, how long have we been drinking a really health risk water by the time they sent out boil water notices, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah. You know, I wonder how many people are laying in a hospital right now with some sort of a health issue because of bad water, you know.
There's no telling. I'm curious. I would love to know some long-term effects. You know, all these journalists like to come down here from out of state and do these stories about the Jackson water crisis and this, that, and the other, and about how it's all whatever political reason they want to point it at its fault. But how about do a story on the people who have been affected by the contaminated water? I'd like to know that.
Are you familiar with these letters they send out?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, my parents still live in Jackson, so I'm familiar with them. But
I didn't know if it's just, you know, residents get these letters or just businesses, you know.
Yeah, it's sad, man. It really is.
It really is. It's scary.
All right, brother. We're going to keep you in our prayers. I'm going to get to this other call. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right, let's take one more caller here before the break. Hey, caller, thanks for holding. You're on there. Hello?
Did they hold?
I hear them. All right, call back.
I do want to throw something in there before we go to break. Dr. Charles Williams, who is over the, you know, what's the word? Public Works?
Public Works, yes.
He's a stand-up guy.
He is.
He is. He's in a bad spot, but he's a stand-up guy.
He's stepping down from that position, isn't he?
I hadn't noticed.
I want to say that he stepped down from that effective. I'm not sure what I would assume the effective date was January 1st or
probably so.
31st, December 31st. And I mean, he's staying within the city, but he's going to do something different. I think he realized that was a losing battle that wasn't going to do his career any favors.
Right. Well, and the thing that I will say as a member of the media is in dealing with him, he was always honest with us.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were things that he was told he couldn't say, but he was forthright. He returned phone calls. He was easy to work with. If I needed him on a scene at a certain place so that we could do a live shot, he was there.
Yeah, I don't consider myself a body language expert by no means. Like, I won't get called into court to dissect somebody's body language. But you could read his body language on those news reports last year talking about the water.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was agitated not at the people.
Mm-hmm.
He was agitated at the people behind him.
Yeah.
You know, not the people in front of him. And you could tell that he wasn't able to say what he wanted to say and that he was in a situation he didn't anticipate having to be in.
Yeah, and having dealt with him, you know, one-on-one as a reporter, I can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah,
I hate that he had this on his shoulders.
He comes across like a stand-up guy. He really does, and that was one of the things. In every crisis, there's typically a hero.
Yeah.
You know, and whether they're able to win the battle or not, it's a different story, but, you know, he comes across like a guy that I have nothing negative to say at all.
Yeah, he was fighting for us.
He was. All right, look, we're going to take a break real quick. You're listening to The Clay Edwards Show. I'm joined by Therese April with DarkHorsePressNow.com, and we'll be right back after this break on 103.9. All right, welcome back to The Clay Edwards Show. We are live here in the Generator Power Solutions studio, and it's our last segment of the day. Let me tell you about my friends over at the Sims Agency. Check out their website for the top 5 quotes from up to 34 different insurance companies. Within 1 minute, you'll get those top 5 quotes. That's phenomenal. So, and if you call the Sims Agency, you're going to get someone live and local answering the phone. That checks off the 2 most important boxes. Save my time, and I'm talking to a real human being.
Mm-hmm.
Check, and let me write you a check.
So nice. Absolutely.
So check out bjsimsagency.com or give them a call today at 601-210-1044. And look, man, know your money's going to a good individual, a good human being, too, when you spend money with the Sims Agency. BJ is a foster parent, does a lot of work in the community and whatnot, and I'd like to make sure we highlight stuff like that.
Well, and last week when we talked about him, I wrote his number on my hand. Remember that? And then I forgot that I had to do some filming with a filmmaker about homelessness in Jackson. So we went back to my office to, you know, take B-roll of me doing work things. And one was a close-up of my hands typing, you know, like I'm working. And I was all worried about my fingernails because they were just all jacked up because it's time to get them done again. But then I realized, like, there's all kinds of people that are going to see this documentary that are going to be like, I'm going to call this phone number and see what happens. Sorry, BJ.
Hey, real quick, from a source that wants to remain anonymous, says, don't mention my name, don't want calls from people, not at all, taking it for the city of Jackson, but lead and copper testing falls on water system shoulders. EPA requires them to be taken in customer's house early and early a.m. first water to be used in the morning. Okay, so the test has to be done first thing in the morning.
Gotcha.
And we have to take every 2 years, and this guy runs a water
thing.
Water is part of his business.
Yeah.
And water systems is part of his business. So he's saying that falls on, I guess, the EPA. Said, not to take up for the city of Jackson, but lead and copper testing falls on water system shoulders. EPA requires them to be taken in customer's house. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Also, just got some breaking news here.
This just in.
From my wife via WLBT, three on your side. A federal judge in Oklahoma on Monday set January 28th date for the resentencing of Tiger King Joe Exotic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so maybe Joe's going to get some time off and he can finally get rid of that witch, Carol Baskin.
Do you know, I still haven't watched the first episode of that, and I'm not being proud of myself. Like, people that are like, I've never watched Yellowstone. I'm like, you're missing out. That's fun. You know, Tiger King may be the greatest thing, but I need to study up.
If you're ever feeling bad, remember how people used to would watch Springer back in the day? Like, I feel bad about myself. Let me watch Springer and know that no matter how bad my rock bottom is, I'm nowhere near theirs.
Sure.
Joe Exotic is that.
Well, see, and I'm so empathetic that I see people like that and I feel sorry for them and then I feel worse.
Yeah. So. There's a cringiness to it, no doubt, but it's the best thing that Netflix has ever done. It really
Netflix,
is.
Netflix, who brought us Schitt's Creek and all kinds of stuff.
I have watched the whole thing three times from front to back, and I don't watch things twice.
Right.
Like, once I'm done, I'm done. You know, I don't buy DVDs anymore. I just rent and I'm done. It's disposable entertainment.
Right. And you know Jerry Mitchell, the great from the Clarion Ledger, and you know all that. He is actually working on that case now.
Yeah, he's on season two, talking about the disappearance of Carol Baskin's husband. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting stuff there.
Yep.
All right, look. Y'all go to ClayEdwardsShow.com. I've got a lot of stuff there. This podcast will be loaded up there within 30 minutes. We also have Kim Wade's show from yesterday afternoon there if you want to take a listen to that. Kim's first show of the year. And check out DarkHorsePressNow.com to check out Therese. And go subscribe to her YouTube channel and support us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow at 7 a.m. as the Clay Edwards Show discusses all that is going on in and around the city of Jackson.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Right here on 103.9 WYAB.